Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 12th of October, 2021. Happy Tuesday to you, ladies and gentlemen. And happy gay Superman. Good God. How freaking stupid do you have to be? We'll get to that at the end of the show. So sad. So pathetic. We're out of ideas. Let's just screw up everything else. Let's do a female James Bond. Why? Because it's easier than creating interesting female characters. Let's do a gay Superman. Why? Because it's easier than, I don't know, creating a new superhero who's gay. We just take the popularity that already exists. Doesn't that just ruin everything and you'll see sales? Well, yeah, but still. So freaking stupid. DC Comics sucks anyway. Marvel is way better. Anyway, I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. Welcome to the program. Lots of ground to cover today. For those of you who emailed, I forgot to make the post live. The post is now live to enter to win the signed copy of Unmasked, the big media's war against Trump, up at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. You can see the picture. You'll see the autographs. You'll get that exact book. That's the book. It's pictures of sitting on my desk. That is the picture of the book that you will receive. Just comment on it. You know the rules. And if you don't subscribe to the Patreon page, go there and see what the rules are and see what you get. It's $5 a month for crying out loud. The Holy Frank, I should change that. Maybe I will change that. Make that the Holy Frank Tanana Club. You get $5 a month. You get a show every Saturday. It's a cursed show, the Weekend Effing Review. And you get entered, you have to actually enter. But you get to enter to win the signed books. They're going to be some good, around Christmas time. Trying to think of like which really big book I want to try and give away. Got some doozies. I got to find my duplicate boxes, but we'll see. The only way to get it, the only got to play to win. Also, don't forget about AncientLifeOil.com. AncientLifeOil.com, your place for CBD oil, 100% or percent pure organic, non-GMO modified CBD oil. The stuff works. The stuff is great. And if at exit meeting, the checkout, you enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, and click apply. You'll get free fast shipping on top of everything else. You can't lose. Go to AncientLifeOil.com. Don't forget to click apply on the promo code. And yes, Patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. All good things to those who pay. All right, that's enough. Let's get on with the show. We've got a long show today. Let's do it. There is a lot going on and a bunch of things to talk about. It's like, well, do we talk about the strike that isn't a strike? It's amazing that they're running around scrambling. No, the Southwest thing wasn't really a strike. It was a weather-related event. Where was the weather? Florida. Well, there's no weather in Florida. Shut up. Yeah. The workers at the pilots, particularly, and apparently some air traffic controllers, launched a protest over the weekend about the vaccine mandates. Now, the various unions involved are saying, no, 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 we didn't do that. The air traffic controllers know better than to strike as a strike. Ronald Reagan taught them about public sector unions striking against the law. Not that Joe Biden would ever do anything. Well, maybe. They're defying his wishes that he cares about and making him look bad. So maybe they would care about such things. Doubtful, but possible. But the pilots union, free to strike. But they didn't strike. They just had a sick out, allegedly. Again, everybody involved is denying this. And that's what you need in something like this, is plausible deniability. I will say that I'm seeing all these armchair warriors on social media going, I stand, and look, I'm not, fine, support them. I stand with the pilots over at Southwest. It's so easy to stand from sitting on your butt on the couch. Okay? All these pseudo-conservative thought leaders. How about you just be a person, be a decent person, lead by example. If you stand by these people, then don't ever use their product again until they get what they want. The company, don't patronize their company. I stand with them. It's the word. The left does that all the time. I stand with so-and-so. What does that mean? That means nothing. It won't change my life. Won't impact a damn thing that I do, but I'm standing with you. Do something. If you care so deeply about it, say you won't fly Southwest again unless and until X, Y, and Z. And then you have to actually not fly Southwest again. Putting out a tweet going, I stand with so-and-so. Okay, congratulations. Golf clap for you. Good job. Good job. You stand with somebody. Now, I couldn't help but notice you're sitting over there. How's that standing going? There are people out there doing things and you're sitting. Is that how you stand? Anyway, just a pet peeve of mine. It tore up. People were tore up the travel industry over the weekend. People were stranded everywhere. Huge, long lines of people getting out there. And of course, everybody was still scrambling around going, we didn't do this for that. We didn't do this for that. And then there were some train cancellations from Joe Biden's beloved Amtrak. Train cancellations. Now, that doesn't impact all that many people. But train cancellations along the eastern seaboard, the Northeast Corridor, which is really the only place where Amtrak is profitable. They didn't have enough crew to run some trains. Now, I don't know if you've ever ridden a train up and down the eastern seaboard. They can be pretty full, but they don't require, you're not, it's not those old-fashioned, old-timey trains where you're shoveling coal into the burner. You're not having to pump the cranks like I've only ever seen them in cartoons, I think, where you sit there and you run the crank up and down. No, it's a pretty efficient machine. Now, maybe there are three engineers up in the engine car, but the rest of them, you see two, maybe three conductors coming through and punching tickets, and one person in the food cart. That's it. Doesn't take a crew of a lot of people to run a train, to operate a train. Yet they weren't able to operate all their trains yesterday. Something's going on. Something's, as people are being fired, people are being laid off, people are being let go. I know personally some people in the radio business, not where I work, not here, but in the radio business who have been let go perfectly. I mean, good dudes running the boards, which isn't something that you can just have somebody off the street come in and run the board, had COVID, wasn't vaccinated, young guy, I think he's in his 20s, let go. Why? Because he wasn't vaccinated. And the company has no flexibility and no brains. And so they just said, we've got to let everybody go who isn't vaccinated. And today's the day. Today was his first day of not working. And congratulations to the company for who knows how many people they fired across the company. It's one of the big companies. I'm sure there are lots of people across the big company who were let go because they just were. They refused to comply with something that is unnecessary for them. It's unnecessary for them either because they had previous infection, therefore they acquired natural immunity, temporary or permanent, doesn't really matter. It turns out that the vaccine is pretty temporary. Or they are young and fit enough and they have decided for themselves, their body, their choice, that they are not going to play this game with the government and let them tell them what to do. They've been losing their jobs. Doctors across the country losing their jobs. Nurses across the country losing their jobs at a time when we already had a medical personnel shortage. Now, there are things we could do to help bolster up the medical personnel issue. It would require something called merit-based immigration by letting people into the country, by even, dare we say, trying to recruit people into the country with medical degrees, with, you know, doctors and nurses. But you can't do that. That would be wrong. Democrats threw an absolute hissy fit when Donald Trump proposed recruiting immigrants who would bring something to the table. Instead, Joe Biden flung open the southern border and welcomed in a whole bunch of people who are going to need free medical care, who are going to clog up our hospital system. Go to any emergency room. Go to any emergency rooms in the country and see if you spot the percentage of people for whom English is a first language. Depending on where you are, you will likely, if you're in a big Democrat-controlled city, a sanctuary city, you will likely find that English as a first language, or even an eventual language, even a possible language, not exactly the majority there. And then ask yourself, if somebody is here, can't speak English at all, needs all their paperwork in their native tongue, whatever tongue that happens to be, if you need that, what are the odds of you having, forget good health insurance, what are the odds of you having health insurance? Where would you peg that? 10%? 5%? 0%? The smart money would be closer to 0%. So then you think, who's going to be paying for all of this? As a taxpayer, the answer is you. Now, you think about what the added cost of dealing with them. Now, those people either have to have translators with them, translators provided by the hospital, doctors who speak multiple languages, nurses who speak multiple languages. That's an added cost. Recruitment right there is an added cost. Before the illegal alien even sets foot in the hospital, they're costing us money that they will never contribute to society. And if you try to say, you know what, we need to prioritize doctors and nurses, we need more medical personnel, you won't be allowed to do it. You'll be called a monster. You'll be called a Trump. Oh, the worst of all, a Trump. And you sit there and you look at all this mess and you wonder why Joe Biden is less popular than toenail fungus. You wonder why Joe Biden is not invited to speak at your kid's school, unless your kid's super duper liberal school. Why it is that he has a 38% approval rating. That's propped up, by the way, by oversampling Democrats. But Politico wanted to find out about this. And so they went in and they did a focus group. These Democrats are doing a focus group. Politico is covering it. Out of Atlanta, this is Politico's headline. The president's decline is alarming, colon. Biden trapped in coronavirus malaise. Oh, poor Joe Biden. He's trapped in a coronavirus malaise. The poor guy. At least you can take comfort in the fact that he doesn't know that he's stuck in a coronavirus malaise, or that he's president most of the time. Said in a focus group last week, Pennsylvania Democrats, one after another, articulated the issues vexing top White House aides, party operatives in Virginia, and voters in Georgia. Colon. Why isn't President Joe Biden's diminished job ratings rebounding? They're very upset. Why isn't he more popular? Pauline Kael all over again. I don't know how Richard Nixon lost. I don't know anybody who voted for him or won. All nine participants in Tuesday's session gave Biden C-minus grades or lower, and their answers circled back to a similar point, the pandemic, and many ways it continues to hinder normal life is souring their views of Biden. Now, this is why Joe Biden is so angry at this so-called unvaccinated. Oh, you vaccinated. You're the monsters. You're causing all of these problems. In reality, Joe Biden campaigned on, I will control the virus, not the people. I will get a handle on the virus, not the people, whatever his stupid slogan was. Now, that campaign was run before the vaccines, were created, before the vaccines were even announced that they were seeking emergency use authorization, which came the week after the election. So Joe Biden was planning on controlling the coronavirus long before he knew that there would be an immune booster shot. How is it that Joe Biden planned to control? He was going to follow the science, right? He was going to follow the science. Mask mandates, all sorts of other restrictions on your rights. Joe Biden's actually doing what he promised to do. I just don't understand these voters who voted for Joe Biden and then look at what he's doing going, well, I don't like this. What did you think he was going to do? What did you think he wanted to do? He promised. He told you what he was going to do. It's like sitting across the room from somebody and saying, if you don't zip your lip, they're saying to you, if you don't zip your lip, I'm going to come over there and smack you across the face. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, come on, man. What are you going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And they keep telling you this. And then they eventually, because you don't shut up, they walk across the room and smack you in the face. Now, it's wrong. You shouldn't walk across the room and smack somebody in the face. But you can't pretend to be shocked by it. The horror. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. Numerous times for a long period of time. How dare he? That's what Joe Biden is doing. Restrictions. He's not even actually paying all that much attention to COVID. He just comes out and says, you got to get a vaccine mandate after telling the public in December that he would never mandate a vaccine. You know what? Maybe people are paying attention. Maybe that's why Joe Biden is so wildly unpopular. One woman said she wanted to buy, back to Politico, wanted to buy a car, but supply chain issues were delaying new shipments to the dealership. A man complained about understaffed restaurants. One of the things I noticed when we were in Rehoboth Beach is I saw at least three restaurants. Well, no, two restaurants, and one was like a t-shirt souvenir shop, you know, the junk stuff they sell on boardwalks. They had limited hours posted. And each of them said, it's because we can't, and they've put signs on the door. Can't find staff, can't staff up. That's Joe Biden making it pretty easy to not work and actually scaring the hell out of people, even if it wasn't easy to not work, as Democrats in certain states are taking the money that our tax money that the federal government sent them and making it easy to not work in blue states. If you notice, the unemployment rates are going up in blue states, down in red states. But if you look at it even deeper, you're making it's in states that are making it easy to be unemployed. And you sit there and you think, well, why would somebody want to be unemployed? They're not getting the benefits, the bonuses that they used to in the unemployment money. And that's true. They're not. But they've just spent a year and a half, almost 2 years, being told that if you leave your house, you're going to die. If you go outside, if you're around other people, you're going to drop dead. Everybody's seen these people walking around with double masks while they're driving their Prius around town. Those people, do you really think that they're going to shot or not? Double shot, triple shot, doesn't matter. You really think they're going to be in a hurry to go out and take a job when the state is willing to give them enough? Just enough, they're not thriving, but it's enough to get by. They've been scared to death. They're not going to leave the house. They drive with two masks on. So yes, everything Joe Biden is doing is having a major ripple effect. And none of it is good. It's really no wonder in this Quinnipiac poll. And if you talk about Joe Biden's failures and coronavirus being cited by these focus groups that the Democrats put together. In the Quinnipiac poll, coronavirus, COVID, is the number one thing that Joe Biden gets high marks for. It's really the only thing that Joe Biden gets high marks for. It's the only thing he's close to being at 50-50 on. He's got a 48% approve, 50% disapprove. That's within the margin of error. The closest he gets on anything else is honesty, which is at 44 in favor, positive, and 56, or 50 negative. Everything else is way further out of whack. The economy, only 39% support. Taxes, 37%. Immigration, 25%. Border, 23%. You sit there and you go, who the hell are the 2% who think he's doing a bad job on the border but a great job on immigration? Seek not logic in the ways of the left, ladies and gentlemen. You will drive yourself crazy looking for it. Another reason why Joe Biden is unpopular is people everywhere are seeing what's going on in the world. And as you watch what's going on in the world, you watch this disaster, this slow motion disaster unfold. That's what's going on in the world. Right now, we've got 50 ships. How many? I don't even know if they know. Cargo ships off the West Coast. Bring them over here to Baltimore. We'll unload them. But they're off the West Coast that are not being unloaded. Can't be unloaded. Why can't they be unloaded? Because we don't have any place to put, we don't have any way to move the material, the cargo that's up there. Trains are backed up outside of Chicago. Washington Post. Rail yards have also been clogged with trains at one point backed up 25 miles outside a key Chicago facility. It's not that we don't have the things, by and large. Some things are scarcer right now due to supply chain issues. But it's that we cannot get the things moving around. We don't have enough truck drivers. Even if we had as many truck drivers as before, right now with the logjam created by the stupid shutdowns and the trying to pick up where we left off and fill the problems and make up for the problems that we had, I'm not sure that the number of truck drivers we had before would be enough. If you really want a job where you get to be your own boss and get to set pretty much your own hours, although the government dictates how many hours you can drive, you probably want to become a truck driver. That's going to be a big deal. There's a lot of truck driver need right now. I'd love to be out on the open road. Kick-ass job driving an 18-wheeler down the road. But there are problems with this. There are problems where we're being warned that there are going to be shortages. I went to Costco yesterday, and not since the early days of the pandemic have I seen what I saw yesterday, and it was limits on toilet paper and paper towel. One per customer per visit, they put the sign up. And guess what? Everybody there was buying toilet paper and paper towel. I doubt they went there for toilet paper and paper towel, but I think they were there and they saw the signs and said, what's going on? All right, I heard about supply chain issues. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy some toilet paper and paper towel because I'm not going to be caught, well, with my pants down again like I was last time. So I'm going to buy toilet paper and paper towel. And you end up creating a shortage, an artificial shortage. And I bought some because we were actually in need of it, but now we're good. But you're seeing this story out of the UK, UK Daily Mail, supermarket crisis laid bare, colon, shelves lie empty as Heinz boss tells shoppers to get used to soaring prices for household staples, including beans and coffee. Well, I don't want to be around that house. Smell great in the morning and then the rest of the day, forget it. The story, Kraft Heinz, the world's biggest producer of staples such as baked beans, ketchup, and baby food, warned today shoppers, they should get used to higher food prices as inflation was predicted to reach as high as 8% in 2022. Hey, Joe Biden. Let's go, Brandon. Britain's cost of living crisis is getting worse while many supermarket shelves were empty this morning due to product shortages with coffee, salads, herbs, or as they say, herbs. Milk, cheese, meat, fish, frozen peas, cola, and bottled water all missing due to lack of HGV drivers. I assume that's what they mean for, like, truckers over in the UK. And a lack of CO2 pumped into packaging to keep produce fresh or fizzy. Kraft Heinz CEO Miguel Patrico said Tuesday the firm is raising prices where necessary, blaming a lack of truck drivers in the UK and labor shortages and an increase in logistic costs in the US. He told BBC consumers will need to get used to paying more for food due to the world's rising population and lack of land to grow produce. What are you talking about? There's so much farmland on this planet, it's ridiculous. But he also said firms would have to take on cost rises, adding, quote, I think it's up to us and the industry to and the other companies to try and minimize these price increases. Yeah, good luck with that. And then there's a whole bunch of pictures of grocery stores where the bins are empty, where the shelves are empty, where the produce is clearly gone. Are we heading back to that? I don't know. But I do know that the government has no plan for this. The government has no plan for this. 2 months ago, when she was allegedly dealing with the border, when she went to Vietnam, remember that? Back when Kamala Harris was, I've got this border thing, I'm going to Vietnam. Because nothing is more porous than the border between Vietnam and the United States. And over there, she said, you might want to start buying your Christmas stuff now because there will be supply chain issues. And you're sitting there going, okay, so a couple months ago, she's talking about supply chain issues. Okay, good. What has been done in the interim? What has been done? The federal government, you may be sitting there going, what can the federal government do? Well, first of all, you don't appoint a Secretary of Transportation who was the mayor of a small town in Indiana with no experience whatsoever. You don't appoint him just because he's gay. And you go, well, box checked. Look at how progressive I am. Because it turns out transportation in supply chain matters is pretty damned important. And that guy doesn't know a damn thing about it. So, yeah, good job, Joe Biden. Let's go, Brendan. You don't do that. Then you can also, if you say, if there is, in fact, a shortage of truck drivers, if there is, in fact, a shortage of dock workers or something, I doubt that, but if there is, if that's what they're saying, they can't get these ships unloaded fast enough because there aren't enough people to do it, well, then there are plenty of people here in the Baltimore area can unload it. If all the ships are out on the West Coast, the government can say, hey, we're going to put you out there. We're going to fly you out there for a couple of months or a couple of weeks or however long it takes, and you're going to get paid. Now, which do you think your average dock worker, your stevedore, which do you think they would take? You get no money and no work, or you have to be away from your family for a little bit, or you can bring them with you if you really want to, but you get a lot of work and a lot of money, a lot of overtime, all sorts of things on the other coast, especially with winter coming on and you have a chance to go work in Los Angeles. Who isn't going to take that offer? And if that doesn't work, if there are a whole bunch of dock workers who go, nah, the hell with that, I'm good. You have the military. If you can't get the Teamsters, if the Teamsters don't have the membership to drive the trucks, to drive enough trucks, the President of the United States has a little thing I like to call the military. The military. Remember them? Yeah. The military exists. The President of the United States could use members of the military to go out and drive these trucks. Could do it pretty easily. He hasn't. Why hasn't he? If it's a truck shortage or truck driver shortage, why hasn't the president taken? Now, it's probably way more complicated than that, but the first step towards making sure that you can unload all of these ships is taking the stuff that's already unloaded and getting it the hell out of the docks so that you can bring more things into the docks. That would help alleviate that problem. Won't solve it, but it would certainly help alleviate that problem. Why isn't the president doing that? Is the president aware of the fact that there is a problem? Can we get some proof of life from Joe Biden on this? Joe Biden's day today consists of him leaving Delaware sometime between 2 and 3, I think it is. Yeah, he's still up in Wilmington, in one of his mansions in Wilmington. He's up there. He's coming back to the White House. He's expected at the White House by 4:30. That is the extent of his public events today. Leaving Delaware in the afternoon, because apparently he just doesn't do early mornings. And then as soon as he gets to the White House, that's it. That's the day. That's the president's day today. You're wondering why he is less and less popular on a seemingly hourly basis? Isn't that weird? Funny how that works out, isn't it? So what are they going to do about this supply chain issue? Europeans are being warned that you might not have enough energy this winter to heat your houses the way that you're used to. They're basically telling people to stock up on blankets and sweaters. Get used to, if you have a fireplace, get firewood. Of course, you have to have a fireplace in a place where you're allowed to have fires, because thanks to green regulations, a lot of places you can't have a fire in your fireplace over in Europe. In California, you can't build a new fireplace. You just can't build a new fire. I don't even know if you can here. A lot of states, you can't. Oh, no, no, burning trees, burning wood to keep warm, as people have done throughout all of human history. That emits CO2. We can't have that. That's just wrong. Stop it. Knock it off. These people are insane. All of this is a direct result of liberalism, by the way. Liberal policies have led you to this moment. The yellow brick road that the hippies have been skipping down, unshowered, leads exactly to this point and worse. Because the road goes on to spiral, much like a toilet swirls. It is a spiral. And they're insisting we go down further. And we go down further. And we go down further. It is a disaster waiting to happen. And you're sitting there looking at China and going, well, China will be hurt too. China's willing to take the hit. China can survive the hit. You know why? Because they don't give a damn about their people. They don't give a damn about their people. They simply go, well, for God's sakes, Mao starved a couple million of them for no good reason, just to fool himself into thinking that, oh, here's a better way to farm. And they said, we don't want to farm. This way of farming doesn't work. And he said, well, if you don't, we'll kill you. And so they farmed that way. And guess what? It didn't work. And people starved to death, and people were eating family members. Cannibalism broke out in China during the Cultural Revolution and the Great Leap Forward. Speaking specifically of the Great Leap Forward right now, though. And the Great Leap Forward, oh, it's wonderful. They weren't producing as much crops as they did, but they had to send the crops. Same thing happened in the Ukraine with Stalin and grain. Stalin said, well, we're producing so much grain, and Ukraine wasn't capable of producing that much grain. It's a particularly harsh growing season. But they had to send X amount of grain that Stalin said would be coming from the Ukraine to Moscow so that Stalin could say, look at what I've done. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. So what did they do? They sent all their grain and then some to Moscow, leaving them with nothing. They starved themselves to death, or were starved to death. That's communism. That's socialism. That's the ultimate supply chain issues. So maybe, just maybe, our government might want to take a look into these things and get on top of it as quickly as possible. Instead, you've got left-wing activists chasing United States senators into the bathroom. You've got United States senators being chased into the bathroom. You got, by the way, that United States Senator, Kyrsten Sinema, is running in the Boston Marathon today. And leftists have promised to bird dog her throughout the thing. Fox News has the story, but the story is pretty much everywhere that is interested in journalism, which means you won't find it in the New York Times or Washington Post. Activists have accosted Kyrsten Sinema at an airport on her way to the bathroom and on her way to the bathroom. They also plan to follow her at the Boston Marathon Monday, pressuring her to support Biden's $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill, the Build Back Better Act. Activists from the Green New Deal Network, a coalition of 15 organizations, plan on bird-dogging Sinema during the marathon, the organization announced in a press release, according to the Boston Globe. They're going to be harassing her as she runs the marathon. Now, Boston votes for Democrats, but I wouldn't want to be a dude harassing a woman running a marathon, especially an attractive woman. Sorry, but it matters. I wouldn't want to be a dude harassing an attractive woman running a marathon in Boston. I just wouldn't want to be. Especially when they haven't had a marathon in a year, over 2 years, because of the pandemic. So they're really going to be pent up and ready to go. Bostonians, I have a feeling that maybe some of them will treat these people like Yankees fans. I'm just saying, and it might not be a bad thing. But instead of taking these resources and this energy and directing it as a party through at the problems of this country, the real, genuine supply chain problems in this country, which, by the way, Joe Biden's $3.5 trillion spending bill will not address at all in any way, shape, or form. Instead of trying to focus this energy on something that will impact lives for the better, Democrats are saying, no, this is our agenda. Full speed ahead. I don't care what else goes on. It's just like Joe Biden leaving Afghanistan. He's picked a date. That date is certain. He doesn't want any troops there after that. He doesn't care. He doesn't give a damn. He's not going to be talked to or about or told anything differently. Move on. Get those people out of there now. Same thing's happening with the supply chain. This is lives that he's playing with. That's what he's doing. Or, well, he probably doesn't know it. I'm not telling you to run out and buy a bunch of canned goods or survival food or anything like that. But I will say that, remember when the pandemic first started and you couldn't find seeds or anything? Right now you could probably find a lot of seeds. We're not exactly going into peak growing season. I don't have any faith in this government and this clown sitting in the Oval Office to have this figured out and straightened out by next year. So maybe you just, they're like 50 cents or something. Maybe you just want to pick up some seeds just in case. Just saying. I have some. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying I ain't sharing my carrots. As we're talking about Joe Biden's poll ratings, this is great. The Babylon Bee. The Babylon Bee is, it's, you know, it was a satire site. Now it is a soothsayer. It's just, it's like a psychic site. Here's what's going on in the future. They have a post, 17 things with a higher approval rating than Joe Biden. I'm not going to go through all 17, but number one is candy corn. Right. Even these tasteless cones of wax fare better in the polls than Sleepy Joe. Candy corn really is just wildly overrated. I don't know why they still make it. Like, butterscotch is kind of hard to find. I actually enjoy butterscotch. Candy corn is like, and what about those little, the Coke bottles or whatever? They're wax and they had some kind of liquid. I don't even know what the liquid was, but you bit into it and then you drank the liquid. And I think we're all being experimented on. Number two is prostate exams, more popular than Joe Biden. Say uncomfortable, but at least they don't last 4 years. Restrooms at Walmart come in at number three. I actually have never had a bad experience in a restaurant at Walmart. Not that I'm a connoisseur. You know, I'm a highly ranked amateur. The decision to cancel Firefly. I know my friend Adam Baldwin would agree with that one. He loved working on Firefly. I never watched it. I used to have all the episodes, the whole series on DVD. Never opened it, never watched it, and then sold it. Sorry, Adam. Pearl Harbor, the Ben Affleck movie. I don't know. That might be tied with Joe. DMV employees, hey, at least we know where they are. Sort of. It's their break. The actual attack on Pearl Harbor, more popular than Joe Biden. Andrew Cuomo's steamy new romance novel. The guy is more popular than Joe Biden right now. The guy in your neighborhood who hands out toothbrushes on Halloween. Is there anything worse? Well, there was. Worse was the people who taped together five pennies. I got a lot of that in my neighborhood. I don't know if people were just eating all the candy or they just didn't want to buy the candy, but they would tape together five pennies and put it in your pillowcase or your thing or whatever. And like, not only is it only 5 cents, but you've got to go through the hassle of getting the Scott. They're cheap that they give you 5 cents because they spent all their money on the highest quality, stickiest Scotch tape on the face of the earth that you like pennies will stick together even after you take the tape off of it. I don't know how they do it. I don't know why they do it. I suppose it's still better than an apple. Number 10 is Long John Silver's. There's something fishy about this place, but at least you can avoid it. My sister worked at a Long John Silver's when I was a kid. It was, I think, her first job. I like Long John Silver's. Their hush puppies are pretty damn good, I would say so. But anyway, I don't avoid it. Gas station sushi will only make you sick one time, and you'll have a great story to tell. Now, there's some things here I can't read because it's their standards. And then Wuhan's world famous bat soup is more popular than Joe Biden. And I'd rather have a big heaping bowl of that than a big heaping bowl of what Joe Biden is force feeding us every single day. Well, I think we've covered Joe Biden's failings in the Babylon Bee and just in general and in life, honestly. The right, well, it's sort of right. They're not really right. The self-proclaimed keepers of true conservatism are failing on their own, too, in regards to Joe Biden. It's amazing to me. Maybe I'm not paying attention. And, I don't really pay that close attention to the infightings and inner workings of the Democratic Party because I just don't care. I want them destroyed and defeated. I wish them ill. I'm not going to follow their every whim and tweet and whine and moan that they do because God knows that seems to be all that they do is whine and piss and moan about everything. But on the right, we've got this weird thing where people who aren't conservative, well, it's not even that, because it's even annoying when conservatives do it. But it's something that leftist Republicans do, where they declare themselves to be the arbiter of what is and isn't conservatism. Right? Conservatism, oh, no, this is not true conservatism. This is that and the other. Bill Kristol used to do this all the time before he just said, to hell with it. I'm now a liberal. And you know where the world is better off for it. They can have him. Good luck with that. He'll stab you in the back the second it becomes advantageous for him, but you can have him. But you've got this situation where the Jeb Bushes of the world, and I'm sure Jeb Bush is a lovely, lovely person. If he wanted to play golf, I'd play golf with Jeb Bush. I don't have a problem with him existing. I have a problem with him insisting. That he is true conservatism. It's Liz Cheney effect. She is the arbiter of what is and isn't conservative. Adam Kitzinger, the same way. These squishy people who side with Democrats. You don't have to side with Republicans, but you should shut up, right? You shouldn't aid and abet your enemies. But because of their Trump derangement syndrome, these people cannot control themselves. Now, I didn't watch the Trump rally on Saturday. I don't watch Trump rallies. I don't care about Trump rallies. If he's not running for president, then it's just drawing attention. I don't care. I just don't care. But these people care and care deeply. And they're upset that he exists. I'm glad he was president. I would much rather have had him for the last 4 years than Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton Jr. III any day of the freaking week. No question about it. He did some great things, tried to do some really great things, and was thwarted by Democrats who engaged in that horrible relic of Jim Crow, the filibuster, when it was cool to be engaging in relics of Jim Crow, and squishy Republicans who went absolutely crazy because this guy existed, because he wouldn't play by the same rules. So today we have in the New York Times an op-ed, they call it a guest essay, entitled, "We Are Republicans with a Plea, Elect Democrats in 2022. Now, when I saw this headline, I thought, who are these Republicans? Who are the Republicans who are going out? Is this the Lincoln Project child molesters again? And elect Democrats in 2022 and send us at least 15 12-year-olds. Well, they probably wouldn't. I can see the Times not wanting to put that in the headline, but that would be the sentiment of what they'd put. And I scroll down and I said, no. Now I'm going to say two names to you and ask yourself, as politically involved and informed an audience that you are, see if either or both of these names ring a bell. Now, I suspect one will ring a bell, and the other one will have you scratching your head. But these are the authors. These are the We Are Republicans with a Plea. It's Miles Taylor, and not Miles Teller, the actor, Miles Taylor, and Christine Todd Whitman. Now, the name I suspect you'll recognize there is Christine Todd Whitman. She's the former governor of New Jersey, and she's the former secretary of, I think it was the Interior, or something like that. Doesn't really matter. But she was an official. She was a cabinet member in the Bush administration. She was EPA administrator in the George W. Bush administration. And again, it goes back to my theory that pretty much everything bad, every bad conservative, every awful Republican springs forth from the pile of manure that was the George W. Bush administration. Really, just honestly is. But that's it. Miles Taylor, if that name doesn't ring a bell, it's because he's most well known for being anonymous. Remember the big op-ed the New York Times ran a couple years ago, but we're working inside the Trump administration to thwart his will. We are, and he was billed as a high-ranking government official inside the Trump administration, when in fact he was like deputy chief of staff in the Department of Homeland Security, barely had any, was never really in meetings with the president of the United States. He was nobody. He's a mid-level manager, political appointee, and a political appointee made by a political appointee. So it was like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon to figure out who this guy was. And he wrote the big book, A Warning, by Anonymous, sold a bunch of copies because liberals desperately wanted it to be true. And then you find out long after the fact, after the left had invested so much emotion into the existence of Anonymous, that he was this mid-level D-bag nobody'd ever heard of. Like, literally, who the hell is Miles Taylor? So there was a lot of buyer's remorse, but he's still kicking around, and he's still got his friends over at the New York Times going, well, I guess we'll run you, but we're not going to run an op-ed just by you, Miles. We've already been burned by that one. Well, you got to find some other Republican to sit on there with you. And he goes, I've got one, the ultimate Republican. Christine Todd Whitman, former New Jersey governor. And you just sit there and you go, these people are pathetic. Now they go through, it's a very long op-ed about how, because of Trumpism, because of what is it about Trumpism that bothers them so much? They never actually say. Now, I like the results we got from Trumpism. I could have lived without some of the tweets. I could have lived without some of that. I could have lived with him, you know, maybe walking out of the press briefing room a half an hour before he actually did. I think that would have probably served him a little bit better, a little bit less exposure, a little bit less weighing in on every single thing that was going on every single day. I think that the public would not have gotten sick of him. The large percentage of the public would not have gotten sick of him if he were not out there every single day. You can't miss somebody unless they give him a chance to miss you. That's just me. I mean, what the hell do I know? He won the presidency, but I'm just opining. But they say because of Trump, and because too many Republicans and Republican candidates are adopting Trump's attitude, which is, you know, go to hell, liberal, which is the attitude that the left has had for and against Republicans forever. Now that they're giving back as good as they've gotten over these years, these true conservatives cannot possibly stand by. They cannot countenance this existence. It's wrong. And so they are urging their fellow Republicans. And if you're influenced by Miles Taylor or Christine Todd Whitman, all six of you can go ahead and vote for Democrats. Let's just put it that way. They go on to praise Liz Cheney and Adam Kitzinger. And they say, now, Democrats, you're going to have to play nice with us. And this is where this lets you know how stupid these people are. This lets you know how dumb these people are, how clueless these people are. After saying, we're going to vote for moderate Democrats. First of all, good luck finding that. Because we can't have radical Republicans who are really, really into freedom. They write near the end of their piece of something. For Democrats, this similarly means being open to conceding that there are certain races where progressives simply cannot win, and acknowledging that it makes more sense to throw their lot in with a center-right candidate who can take out a more radical conservative. Yeah. See, that's where you lose. Utah is a prime example, they say, where the best hope of defeating Senator Mike Lee, a Republican who defended Trump's refusal to concede the election, is not a Democrat, but an independent and former Republican, Evan McMullen, a member of our group, who announced last week that he would be entering the race. Now, if Evan McMullen sounds familiar to you, it's because he was the great white hope in 2016. Remember that when Bill Kristol was having his mental breakdown, when his Viagra stopped working or whatever, and he was having an absolute freak out, and he said, we're going to find ourselves a real conservative and we're going to run them, and we're getting a big name. Don't you forget it. We're getting a big name, and we're going to get them on all the ballots, and we're going to stop Trump from winning. That was Bill Kristol's. He originally went for David French, which, like, David French? Don't bother looking up David French. Just laugh. It's funny, trust me. And they ended up on Evan McMullen, who apparently spent like 20 minutes working at the CIA or whatever. And he was going to be the spoiler. Remember, there were all these various scenarios about, well, Evan McMuffin, he's a Mormon, so he's going to get really in a lot of votes in Utah and could throw Utah to Hillary by splitting the Republican vote. And then he wasn't a blip on the radar anywhere. I doubt his family even voted for him. That was pathetic. He actually still owes a ton of money to people from his last campaign, vendors, contractors, and everything. But he's not going to pay that. He's running again for the Senate out there in Utah. And, well, you should really go for McMuffin. This tells you how insane these people are. How much of an inside joke these people are. Mike Lee is a solid conservative, a constitutional conservative, that he upsets the sensibilities of Miles Taylor and Christine Todd Whitman. I doubt Christine Todd. I think she probably read this thing once and said, all right, you can put my name on it. I don't imagine that they really thought too much about it. She thought too much about it, but she probably agrees with the sentiment because she's that worthless. But to watch these people run around and go, well, you got to get rid of Mike Lee. Democrats, you're going to have to team up with us to help elect Evan McMuffin, the Hamburglar. Let's do this thing. When in reality, that's what this is about. This is a fundraising attempt for this group. This is a fundraising attempt for McMuffin to run and raise money from Democrats. This is who these grifters are. Miles Taylor is otherwise unemployable. So he starts an organization that is designed to moderate the Republican Party. What it really is designed to kneecap the Republican Party and keep Democrats in power and make Miles Taylor an awful lot of money. Christine Todd Whitman was never a principled conservative. I don't know if she's a principled human being or not, but I know she likes money, and so she signs on to this group, probably gets a nice little check from it, and I bet you the vast majority of the money that they raise comes from the Soros wing of the Democratic Party. They are what Lenin called useful idiots, and sooner or later they will lose the useful part and just go back to being idiots, which is what they were when they were Republicans. They were useless to us. You can have them, Democrats. You will be a giant money suck. And if you want to throw your support behind Evan McMullen and think that Democrats are going to come around, oh, you sit there and you go, Democrats, realize that some places there's just people who are too progressive for those areas. Democrats don't recognize that. Democrats believe they are the vast majority of the United States population. They really honestly do. They aren't going to be interested in going, well, you're right. We couldn't possibly get a radical progressive, so we'll go with whomever. No, that's not who they are. It's who these idiot Republicans are. But, you know, the good thing about idiot Republicans is they show you who they are. All you got to do is look. Just like leftist fascists will show you who they are. All you got to do is look. The difference is we in the Republican Party look at these lunatics and say, bye, Felicia. And Democrats go, I'd like to subscribe to your newsletter. It's a big difference. Scary, scary difference. Since we're speaking about COVID, let's talk about President Fauci and his latest decree that we all have to run around and pretend is like, oh, he's this burning bush who writes only on stone tablets. Over the weekend, he made a couple of declarations that I don't think he's aware of how, trying not to swear here, but let's be honest, how bleeping stupid he sounds and how contradictory. It's the contradictions that are the biggest problem. It's the logical fallacy. Nothing makes sense if you put it together. If you watch this guy and he put on his clown makeup and goes out and does his tap dance and the media wants to throw Nobel Prizes and and Oscars and Emmys at him. I can't. He's all the awards they gave people like Andrew Cuomo. They're probably waiting for. Well, Fauci did do a documentary. He participated in a documentary. Expect that is about him. Expect that to win awards. It will likely win awards next year. They'll probably create some awards for it. So sorry if you're a documentary filmmaker making a movie about something that's important to you, something that, you know, matters to the world. You made it a wrong year. It's going to be President Fauci who gets this. But he was on CNN, asked about when vaccinated adults can take their masks off inside around each other. You know, it was, hey, you're unvaccinated. Go to town. Knock yourself out. Congratulations, you're now vaccinated. You got nothing to worry about, nothing. And then it was, well, the vaccinated got to put the masks back on. Then it's the vaccinated have to put, don't wear, make sure you wear a mask in your house around your kids who couldn't be vaccinated. Just don't, if you've been outside at all, don't stop wearing masks. Put more masks, triple masks. I mean, put a quadruple mask on there. What are you waiting for? And if you have friends over, they can come in your house, but make sure you open up all the windows, put fans everywhere, and everybody is using Lysol as breath spray. And then it's best to, why don't you just put masks on your friends? And what's amazing to me is nobody's saying, what the hell's the point of getting vaccinated? And they say, well, there's a less chance of you getting, you know, it'll basically eliminate the chance of you being hospitalized for getting COVID. At which point you go, then why the hell can't I have friends over and have a key party if I feel like it? You know, wife swap, whatever the hell it is. Why can't I do whatever I, if we're all vaccinated and the worst case scenario with the vaccine is we get COVID and we might have a crummy afternoon and that's it. Why do we have to laminate our heads? They never asked that question. So Dana Bash is asking him this really stupid question that should have led to, it actually should have preceded, been preceded by a million other questions. When can we, the vaccinated, go back to having friends over, being indoors with other people who are also vaccinated? And when can we take the masks off? I would ask, when the hell did you start putting the mask on? But that's just me. And President Fauci's answer was, well, let's just say, leaves a lot to be desired.
How long do you think it will be until it's safe for vaccinated people to once again be indoors without a mask?
You know, it's always tough to predict that. I think if we continue to go down in the cases that we're seeing right now and more people get vaccinated, as the dynamics of the outbreak, namely the amount of virus circulating in the community, goes down, I hope we'll be able to pull back on some of those restrictions to get closer to what we really feel is normal in the community. I hope that's soon, but I can't give a prediction of a date on that, Dana.
I hope we can get back soon. It's wonderful. I just, what you're hearing right there is the tempering of his declarations as a direct result, not of any new science. The science hasn't changed. But as a direct result of Joe Biden's 38% approval rating in Quinnipiac. It's not Rasmussen. It's not something that can say, well, it's a right-wing poll. What are you going to do? You can't trust those right-wing polls. This is Quinnipiac. Democrats love this poll. It's a Democrat poll. So now they've got to go, all right, now we've got to adjust the science. Just like Joe Biden's going to, I'm going to listen to the science. I will only listen to the science. I will always follow the science. I want booster shots for everybody. And the science said, no booster shots. Like if you're elderly and have coexisting or existing comorbidities, then yeah, booster shot. Otherwise, everybody else, no, you don't need a booster shot. And what did the White House do? They said, okay, we'll change it. But we want booster shots for everybody who works in the medical field as well. Well, the vast majority of medical doctors aren't over 80 years old, aren't over 70 years old. Why were they included? Who knows? Who knows? We don't know. They're not being honest with us. They're not being open with us. They're not telling us half of what they appear to think to know. And so you got President Fauci there saying, do not have anybody over. Don't go inside without a mask. Put gauze all over your head. Make it seem as though you just had brain surgery. Wrap your head in gauze and cotton wads and everything and just go. Then you can go. And then the same weekend, this story in the Washington Post. Amid drop in COVID rates, Fauci encourages trick-or-treating and says, enjoy Halloween. It's a real headline a human being wrote. I'm not going to bother you with the audio, but the story here. While traditional Halloween celebrations last year were discouraged by federal health agencies, this year Americans can look forward to enjoying the spooky fun of trick-or-treating, said Anthony S. Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease doctor. But I have a problem with that wording, top, the nation's top infectious disease doctor. While he'd certainly win a poll, he would absolutely win a poll. If there was an election to be the nation's top infectious disease doctor, it would be President Fauci, hands down. Because, and here's a trick question, name a second infectious disease doctor. Yeah, I didn't think so. But does that mean he's the top? That means he's the top of most of the pop of most? Is he the best in the world? Is he the guy you want on the case? Well, he didn't do a damn thing when it came to AIDS. He failed miserably when it came to developing a vaccine for AIDS. He was wildly wrong about the vaccines for COVID. Oh, it's going to take years and years. And then, boom, you cut the red tape. Why couldn't Fauci foresee cutting the red tape? Because he is the red tape. He's the red tape manufacturer. That's what he is. He's a mid-level bureaucrat. I don't know when the last time he actually treated a patient was, but it probably wasn't within my lifetime. Still, he's out there and he gets the most press. Why? Because he's out there. He spews the liberal line. He tells Democrats what they want to hear. So he's the top dog. He's the top guy. For my money, a top person in this field would be somebody who actually goes into a laboratory. Somebody who has a white lab coat for necessity, for work, not for CNN appearances. You know? It's kind of weird. He didn't even bother with the white coat anymore. But he used to have that white coat on like he was going into a lab. He sits in an office all day long reading the work of other people. He's not. When's the last time you think he poured fluid from one beaker into another? The 70s? Give me a break. He said, quote, particularly if you're vaccinated, you can get out there. You're outdoors for the most part. He said during a CNN interview on Sunday. I mean, this is a time that children love. That children didn't love it last year when you told them no. Children, this is again what happens when you got a president whose popularity is cratering. Popularity is cratering because of his failures in absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. Fauci's encouragement to enjoy the scariest time of the year comes amid a decline in coronavirus cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. Now, why is that? How could there be a decline in all of this? Why, President Fauci? Why doesn't somebody ask President Fauci these questions? Hey, a month ago, all the stories were about how Florida and Texas are just becoming killing fields because of COVID-19. They're dropping dead at record rates, hospitalizations, test cases. Oh my God, so much. It was so bad. And the president wanted to hurt them even further that he started rationing monoclonal antibodies to these states, hoping more people would die so he could damage two of the top contenders for 2024. It's a really sick exercise in power, but he did it, Mr. President Fauci. But now we're a month later and the cases have cratered, dropped like 30% in those states. Those states did not introduce mask mandates. They did not introduce lockdowns. They did not introduce vaccine mandates. They did nothing different. And what was going to be the death of everybody in that state is now going to be another lazy Tuesday afternoon. Like, why is that? How is that? How do you explain that? Why is it going up? Why are rates going up in Democrat-controlled states where they have had lockdowns and mask mandates and vaccine mandates now? Why, is it maybe the weather? What do we know about this? Nobody wants to ask Fauci that. Maybe he doesn't know anything about it. But we'll never know because we don't have a press corps curious enough to bother to ask basic questions. Instead, they say, Did you see what this person did or said? This person is now saying that blah, blah, blah. And they will find it. They will dig through the internet to find the craziest thing in the world. And they will present it to Fauci as this is what the left does. The left does this with everything, honestly. They find the worst case scenario, the most absurd thing, and they present it as the norm. They build up a straw man out of it and say, well, there you go. This is crack pottery. This is why we have to censor Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all this. We had, because somebody said that there are computer chips in the vaccine that allows Bill Gates to push a button and make everybody dance the exact choreography from Michael Jackson's Thriller video. It is diabolical, really, and the thing is, you don't even remember it when it happens. You're just sitting there doing the slide and the little hand clap above the head like you're jumping jacks. It's all the whole thing. And then you go right back to what you were doing and you didn't even notice that it had happened. It's diabolical. And they will say, what do you think of that, President Fauci? And Fauci will go, this is absurd. We're not doing that. We would do more of the Billie Jean thing than the Thriller. Thriller's too long of a choreography. No, that's not journalism. That's, I don't know what you call it, sycophantism. But to sit there and let this guy slide for everything that he's said wrong, everything he's been wrong, and then seek his permission, Mr. President Fauci. My children love candy. They haven't even been to the dentist in a year. They haven't had enough candy to get a cavity. Can we please trick or treat? Yes, if they're vaccinated and if they're outside. Those are some serious caveats, by the way. If you're asking whether or not you can enjoy Halloween, your kids can enjoy Halloween, they say, quote, particularly if you're vaccinated, you can get out there. You're outdoors for the most part. Well, you have to be 12 and older to technically, although you got to really have bad parents, to be vaccinated. So 12 to 18 years old can get vaccinated. 12 years old is around the time when you should probably start losing interest in Halloween, shouldn't it? Isn't it that? So who is he talking about going to go running around? If I get a bunch of 18-year-olds coming up to the door on Halloween, I'm thinking it's going to be a while before you guys kiss a girl. Just saying. Your priorities are screwed up as a teenager. By about 16, you should be done. Really, by 14, you should be done with Halloween. But if you want to go do it, that's fine. But basically what Fauci gave permission, because the story is President Fauci gives the go-ahead on trick-or-treating this year. When in reality, President Fauci gave the sort of go-ahead to some people, the people right in the sweet spot, unless you're in a clinical trial for five-year-olds, right in the sweet spot of 12 to 14, to go out and trick-or-treat, and that's it. Kind of important to notice. But don't worry, hoping by the end of the year, you can go inside without a mask on again, according to President Fauci. My God, anybody runs in 2024 on the platform of I will fire Fauci will get my vote unequivocally. Although they probably shouldn't campaign on that because they'll already theoretically have that vote and you run risk of scaring people who believe this guy knows what the hell he's talking about. Ugh, just scary, scary, stupid, stupid times. By the way, I forgot to mention this earlier when talking about the supply chain issues. It's not just in the UK, just if I gave you that impression. CNN, of all places, has the story. CNN Business. Grocery store shelves aren't going back to normal this year. It's by a guy called Nathaniel Meyershon. And again, it's Joe Biden's Build Back Better. This ain't better, dude. Build back worser. Build back lesser. If you hoped grocery stores this fall and winter would look like they did in the before times, with limitless options stretching out before you in the snack, drink, candy, and frozen food aisles, no wonder we had an obesity problem. Get ready for some disappointing news. Many of the country's biggest food makers are telling grocers that they will have limited quantities of a number of their products, including such items as Rice Krispie Treats, Sour Patch Kids, some Ben & Jerry's ice cream flavors, McCormick Gourmet Spices, and Marie Callender's pot pies because of labor, commodity, and transportation constraints throttling supply chains, according to emails viewed by CNN and interviews with grocers. That's a very long sentence. It's all one sentence. Good Lord. But it says some suppliers are also telling grocers to cancel their promotions of these items and more over the holidays so products won't disappear from store shelves as quickly. Now, as of this moment, it is mostly junk food. I can love Sour Patch Kids all you want, but you don't. It's not a staple. It's not something you need to survive. Rice Krispie Treats, you could make all kinds of arguments going, well, look, it says that, no, it's sugar. It's just melted marshmallows over rice. You know, and it's, you can still get Rice Krispies, I think. So, you know, make your own Rice Krispie Treats. And Ben and Jerry's ice cream, I couldn't care less about. Just if you want to help those hippies destroy the country, you can buy their crap and it'll be harder to find some of their things. But it's this stuff now. What else will it be when the time comes? There's already talk of turkeys being in short supply, not because suddenly we didn't breed enough turkeys as a country, but because of the difficulty in delivering those turkeys to stores. One of the great things about Thanksgiving is turkeys go on sale for like 19 cents a pound. Like, my God, you get a giant turkey for next to nothing. And you buy two, you put one in the freezer, and you're like, well, we feed a family on this thing for a week. This is awesome. What a way to do it. Or my personal favorite, the standing rib roast that goes on sale every year for like $3.99 if you buy $50 worth of stuff. That's probably going the way of the dodo too. They might have some. They'll be harder to find if our government doesn't get off its butt and start correcting and addressing this supply chain issue with other things, things other than going, oh, it's just greedy corporations. We could probably let this stuff slide, because if actually, if you look at this stuff, the Democrats are wildly happy. This is the world that they want to create. Limited choices. Bernie Sanders said you don't need that many different types of toothpaste. You just need one type of toothpaste. Sick people. They want you to have fewer choices, less choices, because it's greener or whatever in their mind. When ultimately it's more Soviet, it's about more control. And God knows they're all about control. Speaking of supply chain issues and whatever, Ruby always emails me just tons of stuff. Great ideas, great stories. I fear that you're not having as much fun as you should otherwise, Ruby. But I appreciate the email. She's reminded me of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you see. Comrade Cortez, Sandy Cortez. She, back in 2019, she was tweeting about, you know, because as things are getting more expensive for you, she's kind of quiet about inflation. She doesn't seem super bothered by the massive inflation or the shortness of supplies, which is weird, because if Donald Trump were president, she'd definitely care. But she doesn't. And of course, the people that are being most impacted are the people that she claims to care the most about, the poor, the working class, as Democrats call us. And okay, fine. Remember back in 2019, this story from the UK, $7 a piece, exclamation point. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez faces criticism for tweeting about the price of croissants at LaGuardia Airport and comparing it to the minimum wage. And she was outraged when things were costing more money when Donald Trump was president. Actually, weren't costing more money. She's just too dense to recognize what I recognized when I was a kid. I remember having to go to the airport. We'd sort of all go as a family to the airport to pick people up from usually my Aunt Tony. And we wouldn't park, or we'd barely park. This was before 9/11, when you could actually go in to the airport. You'd meet a plane at the gate. Yes, there was a time when you could see people off right at the gate and wave them goodbye, and we'd look out the window and see my Aunt Tony on the plane, and she'd wave from the window on the plane, and you could go and meet them right at the gate as they got off the plane. It was a different time. It's amazing to me we haven't brought that back. But I remember as a kid, to try and time it to spend as little time as humanly possible at the airport because parking at the airport was so damned expensive. It was probably like $1 an hour, but it was wildly expensive to my family. And so I didn't know. I was a kid. What the hell did I know? But I remember those sorts of things. And everything at the airport, you couldn't buy anything when you were inside the airport. What are you going to buy in the inside of the airport? Wait, you got water at home. If you're thirsty, there's a drinking fountain over there. Don't tell me you need this. You're hungry, you should have ate before we left. That was what I was, because everything was way more expensive. And you're like, there's a McDonald's right there. We can go to McDonald's. No, because McDonald's inside the airport is way more. Why? Because they have a captured audience, just like stuff on a turnpike is more expensive. And they have to, not only do they have a captured audience, the people who own the airport, the governments that run the airport, they recognize they can get primo rental for those properties because it's a captured audience again. So everything costs more. It's artificial. It's really a microcosm of what inflation is. And if you think AOC was upset that she had to pay $7 while making $200,000 a year and not having to pay for her flights. She doesn't have to pay for her flights, by the way. We get the pleasure of paying for her flights. She whines about $7 for that. Then maybe she should care about $3.50 gas. Maybe she should care about those sorts of things. Or the skyrocketing price of meat. She doesn't seem to be bothered by those things. Do you, comrade? Never. Never, comrade. These are good, according to plan. Boris is most happy. Lastly today, a bit of absurdity. Again, another piece of your childhood or your teenage years, whatever. Odds are you picked up a comic book at some point in your life or you went and saw one of these movies. And if you sat there and you wondered, why is it that Marvel does all these movies that people go see and make billions upon billions of dollars and DC can't string together a decent movie that can turn a profit? That's A, the characters in DC's universe are not compelling or interesting at all. Like, all you really need is Superman. He's got everything covered. Batman is just a billionaire with daddy issues and too much money on his head, but he should have been killed a million different times. Aquaman, here's a good way to avoid Aquaman. Don't escape by boat. Then you would have avoided Aquaman. Use a plane and you're set. You're drive. And don't go over bridges over water. And you'll be fine if Aquaman is patrolling the grounds of where you want to commit all these crimes. Or better yet, just don't commit crimes where in a city that has a superhero. So in desperation to try to compete with Marvel and to stay alive, quite frankly, because there's a risk that they won't. I mean, not in the current form. They always will, because there will be people willing to invest in these characters. They have now made Superman gay to try and be relevant. I don't know how that's relevant. Who's that relevant to? Is there a gay kid out there who's like, I won't read any comic books because there's not enough male characters kissing other male characters? I don't think so. But now there's this story is the New York Times has, it's all over the place. Up and out of the closet, the new Superman, Jonathan Kent, who is the son of Clark Kent and Lois Lane, will begin a romantic relationship with a male friend, DC Comics announced Monday. You know what I find most annoying about this is that they feel that this is all of, it's so obviously transparently a publicity stunt. That they're putting out a press release going, oh, he's going to be gay. He's going to be super, super power button. Nah, I probably can't say that. But he's going to be this. He's going to be gay. Who cares? Just be it. All right. If you're not doing it just for the publicity, then make Superman's kid gay. It'd make, you know, Superman's grandkid a little awkward. He's adopted, has no powers. Or there's a surrogate and they kill the mother's womb or whatever. But whatever. I don't care. It's a comic book. You can make it up. But just do it. Instead, you only do this for the publicity. I guarantee you that's what's going on. Well, I don't know how awful this is and how bad comic book sales have to be to reach this point, to pull this garbage out. They just keep digging into the hat going, there's got to be something down there. Oh, he hates rich people. We'll do that one. He's fighting climate change. You think I'm kidding? This story. Quote, that same-sex relationship is just one of the ways that Jonathan Kent, who goes by John with no H, J-O-N, is proving to be a different Superman than his famous father. Since his new series, Superman : that's never been more relevant, Son of Kal-El, began in July, John has combated wildfires caused by climate change, thwarted a high school shooting, and protested the deportation of refugees in Metropolis. Well, aren't those just compelling storylines? Don't you want to sit there right now and go to your, they're open, go to your comic book store and say, can I get all the back issues of Superman : Son of Kal-El? I mean, you got to get out in front. The colon is the difference maker, so make sure you get the colon. The idea of replacing Clark Kent with another straight white male savior felt like a missed opportunity, Tom Taylor, who writes the series, said in an interview. He said that a, quote, new Superman had to have new fights, real world problems, that he could stand up to as one of the most powerful people in the world. Really? That's super gay. Where is the oppression? What is he going to be standing up to? I have far too much representation in primetime television. This atrocity must be stopped. My God, Hollywood is pandering far too much to me. I will stand up against Democrats trying to exploit my existence for their political advantage. Yes, I will do that. And honest, there's a national coming out day, which I think is yesterday or today. I really don't think a country with a national coming out day is the killing field for homosexuals that the radical left would have you believe. Call me old fashioned that way. But I like my Superman straight, and I actually don't even like Superman because I find the character boring. I wonder if his superpowers, if the power of the sun will help keep him safe from various communicable diseases. Maybe there's a compelling storyline. We're out of time on that one. Have yourself a wonderful day. Fear not. We'll be back here again tomorrow to do it all over again. Thanks for listening.